While friends and family are mourning the sudden death of US Senator Lindsey Graham, some Republicans are asking what it means for the balance of power in Congress and the agenda of President Donald Trump. Senator Graham was due to run in the November midterm elections, in which he was a strong favourite to win in heavily conservative South Carolina. He was a foreign policy hawk and staunch supporter of Ukraine and Israel, and one of the most influential voices calling for aggressive intervention in Iran. Robert Jimison is a congressional correspondent for the New York Times. I spoke to him earlier and started by asking what foreign policy voice Lindsey Graham brought to the Senate.
What Lindsey Graham represented and brought in his work on Capitol Hill was an old school style Reagan-esque Republican, you'll hear a lot of people say. And what that basically means is just this belief that the United States should have a strong presence around the world, whether that is aid to different countries, whether that is multiple treaties and weapons agreements. He believed, as many Republicans did during the Reagan era, that the best way to protect the United States and to stay dominant in geopolitics was to be active all over the world and to showcase the influence of the United States and the resources of our foreign policy and military infrastructure.
We know that Lindsey Graham had differing views about Donald Trump. What sort of influence did Lindsey Graham have on foreign policy in the White House and more broadly?
Well, just to take a slight step back, I think it's very important to make note of the evolution that Lindsey Graham had with his relationship of Donald Trump. The two did not get along, very famously did not get along, when the president was running for his first campaign for presidency back in 2015. You'll remember that Lindsey Graham was also a candidate in that very crowded field of 15, I think almost 17 Republican candidates vying for that position that Donald Trump eventually got. And so the two were, not only were they just competitors, but they appeared to be just very much enemies. Lindsey Graham had very, very many harsh things to say about the president at that time. But as the president won the election and became the dominant force in the Republican Party, Lindsey Graham, as a lot of Republicans did, they flipped because he said multiple times that, you know, Donald Trump was the best chance for Republicans to advance their agenda. And so his relationship really reflected that. He approached Donald Trump very often with these foreign policy matters, hoping that he could help him, you know, keep his view of Republicanism and his view of how the United States should operate overseas in play. And so we saw that most frequently when it came to Iran, Israel, and Ukraine, where Lindsey Graham was a really strong voice in Donald Trump's ear for that interventionist style American foreign policy that I referenced earlier.
What sort of effect do you think that had?
I think he was one of the rare people who had his ear with such a differing view. A lot of people in the administration believe that, you know, in this America First vision, this idea that, you know, the United States should not be focused on issues abroad and should only exclusively be focused on issues domestically, that the world's problems were not America's problems. Lindsey Graham was very, very counter to that thinking. And so to have someone that, one, the president listened to, and two, thought much differently than a lot of his other close advisors and people in his inner circle, I mean, it did have an effect. You look at, you know, the joint strikes between the U.S. and Israel and Iran. Lindsey Graham was a key player in that, you know, expressing the same views as Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to help push the president to eventually say, okay, let's go ahead and launch these strikes that launched the war that we're in right now. You also look at Ukraine, something that maybe he's been a little bit less successful, but has been very persistent, you know, mediating between President Zelensky and Donald Trump.
What will this mean for numbers in the Senate? How will Lindsey Graham's Senate spot be filled?
The numbers are, you know, there will be a temporary vacancy. There's reason to believe that a temporary appointment to, you know, hold his seat through the end of this term might happen sometime soon here today. But it's a tight margin. You know, when you've got such a limited majority in the Senate, every absence makes a difference. Senator Mitch McConnell has been in the hospital for the last month. That's one Republican out. And even trying to get the things done today and this week, having another Republican out, down one more, is going to make it all the much more difficult. We're going to see that pretty imminently with the Senate's ability to pass a defense authorization bill, the bill that authorizes all the programs and funding for the Pentagon. If Republicans can't get everyone on board, and a few Democrats, in fact, they won't be able to move that forward. So having both Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham absent for that is going to make just that be a lot more difficult. But you asked, what's the process like to fill his seat? The governor of South Carolina can name a replacement to carry out his term through the end of the year. And then there will be a special election in August for someone to run to fill out, to run in the election that Lindsey Graham had just won the primary for not less than a month ago, for the next 6-year Senate term.
Robert Jimison, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Absolutely.